morning. It's good to see everybody today on this first Sunday in Advent. And we are so glad that you are all with us today. And we want to welcome every one of you. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about the God of Jacob, the one who transforms people. And as we look at a passage from Isaiah today, but we're so glad that you're with us. We want to welcome those that'll be listening online later on. And so as we begin today, let's join together and stand and sing our Gloria Patria. Glory be to the Father. Let's join together there for our call to worship in the bulletin. The season of Advent calls to us to hear God's voice calling anew. Come, Lord, renew us with fresh hope. Well, let's join together there. We're going to sing O Come, Emmanuel, hymn number 120. And or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. We're going to be singing the first, second, and fourth verse this morning. Together there for our opening prayer. Giver of life, we acknowledge our need for the hope of Christ's presence and light. Visit us by your Spirit so we may be renewed this Advent season. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And I believe Esther and Butch and Linda are coming this morning. Is Esther here? Where is she? Oh, I did not even see you. There she is. Yes. I didn't even see her. You had me worried there for a second. It's there in your bulletin this morning. There's a song in the air. There's a star in the sky. There's a mother's deep prayer and a baby's low cry. And the star rains its fire while the beautiful sing. For we're going to invite our children to come forward this morning, if they would. I don't know. A couple of them. Oh, yeah, there they all are. Hiding everywhere. Every time I think there's no one here, there's all kinds of them. You guys just come out of the woodwork. Out of the pews. How's everybody doing? Okay. So, now, this is the first Sunday in Advent, and we lit the first candle this morning.
Candle?
Yes, candle, that's right. That is right, we lit that first candle. Yep, one of them, and it lets us know that we have one, two, three, four, yes, four, and a little bit more weeks until Christmas Eve. Christmas. And so we. I know, you can't wait. I know, I can't wait either. So we light that first candle, and as they were just saying a moment ago, that is the candle of hope. Hope. Now, sometimes when mom or dad or grandpa says, well, we're going to do this. And you're like, well, I hope so. That meaning, you know, well, maybe it might happen. But when we talk about hope that God gives us, it's a hope in God's promises that God's going to do what God said God would do. And in this case, we're talking about the promise of the Savior. Jesus, who is the light of the world. So here's what I'm going to do. A few of you may know this, but we're going to think about a little song. Okay, hold up your finger. It's your light. That's your light. And so now imagine that there's a flame coming out. You don't have to worry about it. Just hold up your finger. So imagine there's a little light above your finger. Okay? And there's this song that we used to sing when I was a kid, and we still sing it at VBS. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. You have that candle, that little light, and that light means don't blow it out yet. Don't blow it out yet. You gotta keep it lit till Christmas. Till we celebrate your birthday. I know. Everybody's blowing it out. What's going on here? We gotta hold it, we gotta keep it lit. Until we celebrate the birthday of Jesus. When we celebrate when Jesus came into the world. And so now when you go downstairs, you just kind of imagine you can do whatever you want with your hands or stick it in your pocket. Just imagine. You got that candle lit of hope until Christmas, okay? Okay, so you can go ahead and go downstairs, and remember, you got your candle of hope going with you today. All right. So as we go to our time of prayer this morning, maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share with us today before we go to prayer. Somebody this morning would like to share. Yes. Okay, well, we definitely want to keep her in our prayers. Hopefully, because she's been through it before, her body will be able to handle it much easier this time. But we definitely need to keep her in prayer. And speaking of that, I'll just mention it now. I was going to mention it later, but since you mentioned that, please keep my daughter, Karis, in your prayers. She sent me a text earlier this week and said, "Dad, I got COVID." And she goes, it's pretty much the same kind of symptoms I've had when I got the vaccination shot. So she said it's pretty mild so far, just sleepy and so forth. So appreciate your prayers for her too. Someone else. Yep, we can do that. And so there's not a problem with that. Hopefully we'll get that all worked out. I saw another hand, yeah.
Yeah, the Honeyman family,
Pat. Who?
Pat Honeyman.
Honeyman, okay, yes. We prayed for him, wasn't that a year or so ago?
That was
gone. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we want to remember the Honeyman family with the loss of that loved one there. Someone else.
I have two unspoken, please.
Okay. And we know the Lord knows those. And I saw
him. My uncle, Ted Bensinger, he's in the ICU in Michigan. He has colitis really bad, and he vomited in his sleep, aspirated, and on it. He's just not doing really well.
Okay. So we want to remember Ted in our prayers this morning and asking for God's touch on him with these health issues here. Someone else. Yeah.
My great niece, Amber, she's losing her baby. We're going to take it today.
Aww.
She's 20 weeks pregnant. She's really having a hard time.
Yes, that is a very hard time. And definitely going to need a lot of grace in the midst of all that. Yeah. Someone, go ahead. Yes, sir. Yeah.
I have two unspoken and a joy. A lot of you heard the saga of my nephew Danny, but he's doing really good, and he works at Dobo's Bakery in Piqua, and he's quite the charmer. So he's doing awesome.
Thank God for that.
I'm praying for those kids because they didn't do it.
Yeah, amen. That's good. Yeah, he does have a really good turnaround story there in his life with everything he faced. So thank you for sharing that. I saw, yeah. What is her first name?
Shirley.
Shirley. Okay. So we want to remember Shirley, who is recovering from a fall there. And somebody else. Yeah. So we want to remember the Widener family with the loss of this loved one. I did hear about that. Yeah, somebody has shared with me earlier this week. So, yeah, go ahead. Okay. The Lord knows that. I think Tom had his hand.
I was just going to mention that Ron Widener was on the school board. He's also the last township clerk. So that's the one it is.
Yeah. Yep. I saw a couple other hands. Yeah.
If we could keep Mom and Dad on the list.
So we want to remember Smoke and Mary in our prayers. Someone else I see? Yeah. What was the, what's the first name?
Gene Snyder.
Gene?
Jim.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, you got to speak up for me because I can't hear when you speak soft. So I have to tell the kids at school, you got to speak up. I don't hunt. And they're right in front of me. So, yes, sometimes they're whispering. Someone else. Ah, yes. So we want to remember Elaine. And did you mention a second person or something there? Because I didn't hear what you...
Unspoken,
thank you. Because I did not hear that. So, someone else. Yeah.
I wanted to add, and I forgot, that I think it's absolutely amazing what Kathy does for our children.
Good. Yes. Yeah. Someone else.
Erin Burton.
Okay. So we want to remember Erin Burton in our prayers. And God knows what that is. Anybody else this morning? We have a couple of them. We want to remember Diana Beasley as she's recovering from a fall, and she broke her leg 4 inches from her hip. And thank God that it was not her hip, because that would have been a hard recovery. So we'd appreciate your prayers for Diana and also for Kim Schroyer, who is a relative of Don's, who is battling ovarian cancer, and appreciate your prayers for her. And also we want to continue lifting up Bill, praying for healing for that wound. And also then asking for your prayers. I talked to Mary Lou this morning and she said, Jason, you can go ahead and let the church know what's happening with Ernie. So Ernie is going downhill very fast. He has refused all treatments. And they are, as I after I had talked with her this morning, we're going to be meeting with hospice about bringing him home and letting him to be able to pass at home. And so we'd appreciate your prayers for the Hageman family and for God's grace and comfort there. And I know that many of you know them very personally. And so we appreciate your prayers for all of them and today. So any other before we go to prayer then? Well, lots of needs there, and definitely need to lift all of those up, so many of them today. And so we want to invite you to pray as she plays, and then I'll close us out. Our gracious God, we are thankful today that when we remember the season of Advent and why we're celebrating it and remembering and reflecting, we're reminded of the miracle of Christmas, that you sent your Son into the world. And yet it reminds us that all things are possible with you, O God. And Lord, there's a lot of needs that have been mentioned today, people that need your touch today. And Lord, I'm just going to name them real fast. Lord, we just lift up Bill. We lift up Kim and Aaron, Elaine, for Jim today, for Bonnie, for Karis, for Ernie and the Hageman family. For Jody, for Ted, for Amber, for Shirley, Lord, for Kim, for Diana, for Bill. God, we lift up each one of them and ask for your healing touch and your peace and your grace and the moving of different ways into these families and loved ones and friends. Lord, we think of the Widener family and the Hummum family. Lord, we just lift up them today for your peace with the passing of those loved ones. We continue to lift up Smoke and Mary and Jim and Kay. God, we're just asking for your touch upon them and your grace and for each of them. And Lord, we just thank you that you are able to do a work where we cannot do. So we ask that you would work in according to your will and touch people today. And we're thankful for this time and season that we can come to celebrate and remember what the season is all about. And Lord, I ask your blessing upon the time when we break the bread of your word. May you feed our souls and encourage us and build faith in our hearts. And also, Lord, as we celebrate around the table today with communion, the Lord's Supper, as we break the bread and drink of the cup, that we may receive of your grace and receive of your healing and receive of hope today that is found in Christ Jesus because of what he did for us. And we thank you for all of these things as we ask them now in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. thank you for taking the time to pray with us this morning. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving, and we want to thank you for your faithfulness. It helps us to continue the work of the ministry here at the church and continue to be a blessing. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this season of Advent, where not only do we give because you gave to us your one and only Son, but Lord, we can ask that you would use our giving to be a blessing to not only this community, but to further the work of your kingdom through this local community of faith here, as we ask it now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. And you may be seated this morning. Oh, guess what I forgot? I need my sister, if she will do this for me. Would you run downstairs? On my desk is my iPad with my sermon. I saw that earlier, and then somebody stopped me and asked me to do something, and I took care of that, and I forgot why I was going back to the office to get my iPad. That's the way life is, isn't it? Well, our scripture reading this morning is coming from Isaiah chapter 2 this morning. Isaiah chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 5. It's our lectionary Advent reading for today. And you can follow along there on the PowerPoint. This is what Isaiah, Amoz's son, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of the mountains. It will be lifted up above the hills. People will stream to it. Many nations will go and say, come, let us go up to the Lord's mountain, to the house of Jacob's God, so that he may teach us his ways and we may walk in God's paths. Instructions will come from Zion, the Lord's word from Jerusalem. God will judge between the nations and settle disputes of mighty nations. Then they will beat their swords into iron plows and their spears into pruning tools. Nations will not take up sword against nations. They will no longer learn how to make war. Come, house of Jacob, let's walk by the light, or by the Lord's light. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word this morning, and that the Spirit will give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Well, one day, a first grade teacher was reading the story of Chicken Little to her class. She came to the part of the story where Chicken Little tried to warn the farmer. She read, and so, quote, Chicken Little went up to the farmer and said, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. The teacher paused, and then she asked the class, and what do you think the farmer said? And one little girl raised her hand and said, I think he said, holy cow, a talking chicken. And the teacher was not able to continue for 10 minutes. I want to talk to you this morning about the light of the God of Jacob. Who here likes waiting? Anybody want to raise their hand? Does anybody like waiting? I don't like waiting. I don't like it. Even when music is playing on the phone, I don't like waiting. I hope you got that as a reference, didn't you? When you got to call into somebody, some company or whatever, and they put you on hold and you're on music for 10 minutes. I just had that happen the other day. And yes, Advent is the season of waiting. 4 weeks of waiting as we remember and celebrate the birth of our Savior. But waiting does something in us, because waiting is an act of hope. Think about that for a minute. Waiting is an act of hope. We wait all the time, don't we? We wait for this, we wait for that. We work all these years hoping to be able to buy this or buy that or whatever. You know, we wait to be able to try to have that child. We wait to be able to do this. I mean, just so many things. Life is made up of waiting. And so you could say life is made up of hoping. Hoping. And Isaiah envisions a day of hope, when people from all nations will flock to God's house to experience the light of God's transforming presence. And in the reading that we read this morning, and this is what really jumped out at me this week and struck me. I don't know how many times I've read this passage during certain, every 3 years on Advent seasons. I looked through old sermons that I had preached on this passage before, and somehow I missed this for some reason in the past. But it jumped out this time. And that is, the God who transforms in our reading today is the God of Jacob. Why the God of Jacob? That's what struck me. And that's what I want us to focus on for a moment this morning as we think about hope on this first Sunday in Advent. First of all, I want us to think about transformation and the God of Jacob. Okay, so if you looked at your sermon outline, you know a little bit of what's coming here. Jacob is the poster child of conflict. If you go back to Genesis and read the stories about Jacob's life, Jacob, the son of Isaac, the grandson of Abraham, the younger twin of Esau, who would rather fight than do anything else. His fighting nature is depicted in the stories in Genesis. It's depicted when he was fighting, we are told, with his twin brother in his mother's womb, trying to hold his brother back from being born first so he could be born first and be the blessed son of the family. Even as he grew older, we are told about his conflict and his deception and lies and sibling rivalry that he faced with his twin brother and even his father. Even his most important encounter with God, some of you know it by the reference to Jacob wrestling with God in that story, when he went out in the desert all by himself and God showed up in the form of an angel. Which, by the way, he lost that match, but he was renamed in the process from Jacob to Israel. Think about this. Jacob, the liar, the cheater, the swindler, becomes Israel, the father of 12 tribes of the nation. Why does Isaiah refer to the God of Jacob? Here's what really hit me this week. Advent reminds us of the God of possibilities. When I was reading that this week and thinking about that, it really struck me that the God of Jacob is the God of possibilities. A God whose presence transforms people. The God of Jacob reminds us of what is possible with God. I mean, if God can transform a Jacob, a swindler, a cheat, a liar, into an Israel, then God can change anybody or any place or any nation or any situation. This is the good news and hope of Advent. When people encounter the light of God's presence in Jesus Christ, things can be changed. Things can be transformed. Our lives can be transformed. Situations can be transformed and turned around. That's the God of hope that we serve this morning, and the God that is revealed as the God of Jacob. Transformation. Second thing is light and the God of Jacob. That's another thing that really comes out in our reading today. And because light in Scripture symbolizes God's presence. Light refers to life. Light refers to goodness. Life refers to joy. Life refers to revelation. Life refers to deliverance and provision. All of these things are in our lives and available because of the presence of God in our lives. And that doesn't stop there, because life is also linked with what is just and right, and salvation and healing and wholeness. All of that is about the God of Jacob in our life. And Advent reminds us of God's light revealed in Christ. Isaiah declares that God will guide people down a new path that's lit by God's word, that brings people into glory and peace. Think about that for a minute. Do you need some glory? Do you need some shining in your life? Has your life been dreary lately? Have you felt dull lately? God is able to bring light and life into our lives. And not only that, but peace into our lives. With the dawn of Isaiah's promise to Isaiah, a light began to flicker. Just like this light this morning flickers. Just like I asked the children to take that light of hope with them. A light with more promises to come, which we will look at over the next 4 weeks. And not only that then, but it all ultimately led to the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is described in John as the light of the world. Because when we encounter the light of Christ, we come face to face. Think about this. We come face to face with hope, peace, joy, and love. And that light shines the path before us to guide us in the way. Let me share a story. I believe this is a true story. Came out of a book describing this. Henry Gardner was flying a passenger plane to Asheville, North Carolina, in his Cessna 180. He brought somebody along and was taking them. He'd taken off from Texas and he stopped in Mississippi, made a quick landing in Mississippi to fix his radio in the plane because it kept acting up. As he took off again and came close to Asheville, the fog was too thick to land. "Sorry," came the voice from the air traffic controller. "You'd better head to Greenville." Yet Henry was low on fuel and would have to make it to, he would never make it to Asheville, so he had to land there anyways. The controller gave him permission to make an emergency landing. Just then, his radio sputtered and made some kind of funky noise as he began to descend. "Pull up!" came a shout over the radio. Then Henry could see an interstate highway below him. He pulled up just in time, barely missing an overpass. The voice on the radio then shouted, "If you listen, I'll show you how to land." Suddenly, lights appeared on the runway out of the fog. What a welcome sight were those lights in that moment, shining a path so that Henry could land the plane. Henry safely landed the plane, and he was so overjoyed by it all, he thanked God. And then when he came in to the airport, he went right up to that air traffic controller and thanked him, who looked at him bewildered. "I don't understand," said the air traffic controller. "I lost contact with you right after I told you you could make the emergency landing. Your radio made this sputtering noise, and I never heard from you again." Who was shining the light on Henry's landing? The God of Jacob. The God who guides us in hope through life. The God who is the God of Advent. Advent reminds us that the God of Jacob is still the God of possibilities in our lives today, transforming and guiding us with the light of Christ. May we, during this Advent journey, walk in the light and the hope of the God of Jacob. Amen and amen. Well, we are going to prepare our hearts this morning for communion that we are going to share together. And as we normally do that, we prepare our hearts by sharing a prayer of thanksgiving and confession to God as we are going to receive and celebrate at the table today. So I'll pull it up on the PowerPoint, and I'm going to invite you, if you would like to pray along with us this morning, to prepare your hearts for communion. Let's do that this morning. We are thankful for the light of your presence, O God of Jacob. We confess how easy it is for us to slip off your path and forget your promises of hope. Forgive us, help us to walk in your ways, and shower us with your grace as we partake of the bread and drink of the cup at your table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Receive of that today. Receive his forgiveness. Receive of his grace as we share in the table together. I'm going to invite our deacons and deaconesses that are going to be helping us out this morning, if they would make their way as we prepare to celebrate at the Lord's table this morning. Thank you. later, when they were gathered together, Jesus took the cup and he blessed it and gave thanks and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink of it and do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake this morning. The Apostle Paul said, "As often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes." Well, we're going to give you just a minute or so, and you can just shake a couple hands right around you, and then we'll go ahead and close out with our little hymn chorus there of as we end today. Got her. You can follow along on the PowerPoint there. We're going to sing those two little verses of this chorus hymn. Come thou long expected Jesus. Come thou long expected Jesus. Born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Join together there for our benediction. Go forth in hope and keep watch for Advent.
We watch the God of Jacob at work around us.
May the God of Jacob fill us with all joy and peace, and may we abound in hope by the Spirit's power. Amen.